The scripture reading for this morning is Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Joshua 1, 1 through 5. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised to Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean, Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Morning. Starting out today with the most dangerous jobs. What do you think of the well, wait a minute. No, we're not going to start. Let's go back. Just a moment. I didn't realize Eliam was here today. Welcome to our newest one. Carlos and Princesa have the biggest smiles on their faces today, and rightly so. We're so happy with you, and we rejoice in the Lord with your precious son. And may God bless you and bless him. Yeah, that's what's wonderful. It's wonderful to see. Now, we'll talk about most dangerous jobs. Probably mother was going to top the list, really. But other than that, think, what are the jobs in our country that there's really danger involved? You don't know, Stan. You know, in my list of top 10 on the internet, blasting holes with dynamite wasn't on it, but I think I'd put that close to the top. I think we need to revise those lists, absolutely. And you think of jobs like, and it's not necessarily not really a job in a sense, but active military is one, police, firemen, EMT. There are lots of lists online, you know, that kind of say these are the most dangerous. And you think of people who take these jobs, one of them kind of a little different than the dynamite, but people who work on power lines. Also interesting, loggers and fishermen. I'm not talking about the guy out in his little rowboat, but the folks that are out there on the ocean, a lot of danger that's involved in those. Also pilots, flight engineers, farmers and ranchers. I guess a lot of accidents where farmers and ranchers are concerned. Well, what about the most stressful jobs? Well, topping the list are some of the ones that are the most dangerous. Again, active military, police, firefighters, EMTs, stressful jobs. But then it's interesting the kind of jobs that kick in on the list if you look them up. The next one on the list, like number 5 or 6, was event coordinator. And I thought, okay, well, I guess, you know, as far as stress goes, I suppose, you've got that, you know, that wedding or whatever, you probably have a lot of people after you, but that was one of them. Also, corporate executives, senior corporate executives, taxi drivers was on the list. Now, I got a feeling, we got a couple of them, I'm going to have to ask them, I got a feeling Uber drivers don't have stress, but I could see how maybe taxi drivers do. Registered nurses are on the list of most stressful jobs, as well as emergency dispatcher and surgeon. And I know some of you are waiting to see if you're going to make the list, and yes, you do. Teachers. Teachers were on the list of one of the most stressful jobs. What about the least stressful? The least stressful. Interesting. Librarian. Although you do have to keep saying shh, shh all the time. But I guess, you know, a jeweler, a dietitian, an audiologist, people who do sonograms make the top 10 of least stressful jobs. And then a tenured university professor. And I thought, okay, so a stressful job is being a teacher, but a tenured university professor is one of the least. And we have some folks here. I'm gonna chat with them afterwards and see if that really holds true. You know, sometimes one of the most difficult things about a job is following a predecessor who was superb, said the preacher who followed J.J. Turner. But I'm thinking even on a much larger scale, how would you like to follow Moses as the leader of the people of Israel? I mean, Moses has a pretty good track record as leader of the people of God. You think about trying to step in the sandals of Moses. This is a man who stood at the burning bush. This is a man who through whom God brought the 10 plagues on the land of Egypt and delivered Israel out of slavery. This is the guy who held up his staff and the Red Sea parted. This is the man who talked face to face with God, who brought the law of God down from the mountain to the people. This is a man who led Israel for 40 years, who brought, with the help of God, obviously, it was the Lord God, but water out of a rock, and all of these things that Moses is involved with, bringing Israel from slavery through the wilderness, leading them for 40 years, bringing them into the very covenant of Moses, that we it's even by his name, and then to the edge of the promised land. How would it be to take his place, to take over? But that's exactly what happens with Joshua. Emmett read just a minute ago the very beginning of his story in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, where you have kind of Joshua's call, his commission. That's where it always starts with God's people. God calls us, God commissions us, and it's pretty abrupt. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now it's you. I mean, that's pretty much it. You know, that, by the way, Joshua, Moses is dead, and these, you know, you got a million people around here looking for someone to take the next step, and it's you. You're the leader. And then God, in his commission, tells him about how it's going to go and coming into the promised land. And there's promises that he makes him in verses 3 through 5. He says to him, I will give you the land. I will keep my promise. I will be with you. I will never forsake you. So he calls him and he commissions him to this amazing, difficult, faith-stretching task, but he promises that his presence will be with him. But even with that assurance, can you imagine the questions, the perhaps doubts or fears that Joshua may have had to struggle with? First of all, he's got to deal with the people. What if the people don't follow him? Okay, he's been given the position, but what if he stands up and he says, let's go, and everybody just looks at them and nobody follows him? What if the people don't respect him and don't listen to his leadership? And what about the enemies that he's going to be facing, going against strong, fortified cities that Israel has not done to this point? And what about his own maybe struggles with his self-doubts? I mean, who am I? Can you not imagine someone like Joshua saying, who am I to step into the role of Moses, this great man of faith? And yet there he is, God speaking to him. And in verses 6 through 9 of Joshua chapter 1, Joshua receives these words from the Lord. Listen to what God says to him in verse 6. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their forefathers to give them. That's the first thing he says. Be strong and courageous, Joshua, because you are going to do this. You are going to be successful. You are going to be the one. And then in verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? And so God says to him a second time, be strong and be very courageous. And listen, you hold on to that law that came to you all through Moses, and you listen to that word and you meditate on that word and you put that word in your heart and you live by that word. And as you do that, that's what's going to keep you close to me. That's what's going to keep you grounded in your faith in me and in the truth. Don't depart from it to the left or to the right. And then he goes on in verse 9 to say once again, and I'd like for you to say this with me. This is the sermon for today, right here. Now, it won't be over after we say it. There's going to be a little more coming. But this is it. This is really, this is what I want to say to me and to you all. And please read it with me. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua hears these words from God, and if we would go on and read chapter 1, we get to verse 10, and Joshua, he just immediately goes out into the camp, and he basically says, get ready, because we're going. It's time to move. 3 days, let's prepare, let's get ready for this. And Joshua assumes the role that God has called him to fulfill. And he becomes, as you know, one of the great leaders of Israel. It's difficult to find anything in the story of Joshua that you can point to and say, well, that's really where Joshua failed. Joshua is a man who continues to follow the will of God, the law that he has received from and through Moses, and leads the people faithfully. But he's told, be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified. Don't be discouraged. This is a defining moment in Joshua's life. What will he do? How will he handle it? This is that defining moment for him. And this is God's encouragement to him. Joshua, I'm telling you, be strong. Be courageous. Don't be terrified. In other words, I know there's things here that could cause you terror. Don't be discouraged. Don't allow those things to even begin to take root in you. Because the Lord God, Yahweh, your Lord God, will be with you wherever you go. I'm going to be there, Joshua. Be strong and courageous. I don't know what moment you may be facing right now in your life. I don't know what issue or what question or what trial or temptation you may be up against, what challenge, what call to ministry or service, or who maybe God is wanting you and spurring you on to speak to about the faith in Christ. I don't know what challenge you may face, what defining moment you may be dealing with right now. But I do know that when we're at such moments in our life, these are the words we need to be reminded of. It's not just a saying. It's a solemn reminder of who we are and who our God is and how our God has called us and our God has commissioned us and God will be with us. And at every defining moment in our life, what should guard us and guide us and encourage us are such words. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And I think one of the ways that this first can be applied is really the same way that it was here in Joshua's life. In being called and commissioned by God, we're called people as well. God calls us to salvation through Jesus Christ, and God calls us to ministry and service. And we face many of the same issues in dealing with that Joshua himself did. I know it's hard for us to identify with people like Joshua. I mean, come on, Joshua, he's one of these great guys. He's one of these amazing leaders. And yes, that's what he becomes. But Joshua starts out growing up as a slave in the land of Egypt. He's born in Egypt as a slave. He grows up there. He's somewhere maybe 20, 21 years of age, somewhere in there, a young man. When he's liberated along with the entire nation and leaves the land of Egypt, he's one of those of the hundreds of thousands who are in the wilderness, one of the 12 spies that sit into the land. The point is, though, he's a man. He's a human being. He's flesh and blood. Joshua, this great general and leader of Israel, is no different than any one of us. He is just a human being that God called and commissioned to serve. And we may not be called and commissioned to such a role in redemptive history as someone like Joshua, but you have been called, and we all have. We've been called to salvation through Jesus Christ, through the gospel. We've been called to and commissioned to serve, to do what God has placed before us to do within the kingdom. And sometimes, as we respond to those opportunities to serve, our call, our commission, to be who God's called us to be in the body of Christ, these are defining moments. How will we respond to such opportunities? Will we be overcome with fear? Will we allow fear to rule? Will we allow discouragement to come in? Will we allow self-doubt to overcome our faith? Will we feel insecure or question ourselves or think that the tasks seem too demanding or beyond us or someone else ought to do it? I remember like it happened yesterday. When Ray Vaden, who was an elder in the church where I grew up, came up to me one Sunday morning and said to me, Richard, our preacher is going to be on vacation in 3 weeks. Would you speak on Sunday night? And I'll never forget my absolute immediate response without even giving it a second thought was, no, I will not. Thank you very much. Now, some of you could probably identify, well, yeah, I wouldn't want to get it. Here's the kicker. I was actually in school at the time studying to be a preacher. And, you know, I don't know what year I was in at Pepperdine, but I was in the middle of my studies. And the elder gives me this opportunity. And I went home and I just, you know, God just was kind of really working on me that afternoon. I went back to Brother Vaden that night and absolutely scared to death, told him I'd give it a try. And I know, we all have moments where it's like, no, not me. Teach the class, or no, I couldn't do that, or hey, how would you like to work? Just greet folks as our guests come in on a Sunday morning. Greet them, welcome them. Oh, I don't know, I'm not, you know, I don't have that kind of a personality, or whatever it happens to be, serving in a ministry, being involved in a MOPS ministry, or taking care of some aspect of that, or maybe it's just visiting someone. It's something you've never done. It's a little out of your comfort zone, and at times we can just think, I can't do that, and we allow fear to creep in or self-doubt, and it's hard for us to get out of our comfort zones. Those are times when we need to hear these words: be strong and courageous. Come on, be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified. Don't be discouraged. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He's in this invitation to serve. He's in this opportunity for you to do something that's going to bless someone else's life. Ella and I were talking about this last week, and she reminded me of a first time that she was asked to teach. We were newlyweds, and we're at the church in Hawthorne. My sister was teaching the 2 and 3-year-old class. And my sister asked Ellen, hey, would you like to come in and, you know, be my co-teacher and, maybe learn to teach? And Ellen said she remembered when my sister asked her, it was like, that was like the most terrifying thing she'd ever heard in her life. You know, 2 and 3-year-olds, you know, I mean, you have to break out the commentaries and, you know, you got to work. No, you know, but I mean, when you, you know, and I don't know, I... 2 and 3-year-olds. I thank God for the people who are called and gifted to teach 2 and 3-year-olds. It's quite a role within the church. But and as you know, she said no, and she's never taught a class since. Now, she was better than me. She didn't say no. You know, she got in there absolutely scared to death of what do I do with 2-year-olds. And you know, there are times in our life when we get opportunities to serve in the church, and we just, it just seems so hard or so far beyond us. And then maybe years later we look back and realize, oh, I can't believe that was my reaction, but it isn't. And maybe still today it's something different that's going to cause us to react that way. And it's important for us to truly be strong and courageous. There are some times to say, you know what, this is time just to be strong. This is a time not to let fear rule in my life. And I think how many times God's people have to be told this in serving him and in working. When Israel comes back from captivity, from their Babylonian captivity, and they start rebuilding the temple, and it goes bad, and their enemies rise up and spread bad things about them, they have to quit, and it just, you know, they're all discouraged. They're all feeling like failures. They can't do anything. And God brings a couple of prophets along, but one of them by the name of Haggai, who talks to the people, because they've left off building the house of God. And in Haggai chapter 2, verse 4, first of all, God addresses the leaders, the governor Zerubbabel, the high priest, Joshua, and then all of the folks. Listen to what he says. But now, be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. As you're reading through your Bible, just take note of how many times God says to his people as they're about to embark on a work, or maybe they've given off on doing something of service to him, they'll say, I'm with you. Be strong. Don't be afraid. I'm right here. I'm going to empower you. This is a promise I made to you. Don't be swayed by fear or discouragement. And we need to hear these words at times, because the Lord has chosen us. He's chosen us individually in Christ, but he's chosen us corporately as a body here to serve, to bless people, to help, to be to be a force for good and for His grace and His care in people's lives. And we can't be overcome by fear or self-doubt, but rather to have trust in the Lord and His presence in our lives. It starts too, and I appreciate the way Zerubbabel and Joshua as leaders of Israel were first addressed there. Such an important message for leaders in the church, because sometimes you just get overwhelmed or feel like, how can we really do this? Or how can we really chart this course? And God is saying, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be terrified. Don't be discouraged. I'm still here. I'm still with you. I'll still bring you through this. And as well, not only the opportunity to serve, but sometimes the opportunity to share a word about Jesus. How often we have that desire to talk to someone about the Lord, but we fail to be strong and courageous, and we fold to our fears. On Thursday night, we were talking about just praying for one another and sharing some life concerns, and one of the people in our group just said, you know, there's this person in my life, I've needed to talk to them for so long about Christ, and I just never seem to be able to find exactly the right way to do it. And it's like, you know what, it's just time. It's just time for me to talk to them. I love them, I know their soul is at stake, and I just need to be able to do it. And we prayed that they would just be able to do that. It's like, be strong and courageous, and don't be terrified. Don't be discouraged. God will be with you. God will give you the words. He's promised to do that. And so often it's hard for us to call on that promise of God. We can become so afraid. And we're not the only ones. You know, I find it interesting that Paul, when he addresses Timothy, Timothy's an evangelist in the church. He's the evangelist at Ephesus. And in 2 Timothy, we read a lot about Timothy's fears and his timidity. And it appears that he's kind of holding back. Just a bit. If you read, not really between the lines, but I think it's really what Paul's saying. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul says, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. And you hear what Paul's saying to Timothy. Timothy, you have a gift. I know you have a gift because I laid my hands on you and you received it. And you need to fan that into flame. What does that tell you? He's not using it. He's not doing it. He's not carrying out his role in the body. And Paul says, Timothy, Paul didn't give you a spirit of fear. God didn't give you a spirit of timidity. God gives you the spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. And he goes on to even explain a little bit more what he's talking about to Timothy in the next verse. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy life. So Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, you need to get over your timidity and fear. You need to get over being any sense of shame or worried about this. And stand up as a bold witness. Don't be ashamed of the fact that I'm in jail for preaching Christ, and don't be ashamed of the Lord. And in the next chapter, after he talks about how the grace of God has called us to this, he says to Timothy in verse 1 of chapter 2, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And when he talks here about being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, it's in the context of sharing the faith. The very next verse talks about Timothy sharing the message of Christ with others and imparting the message of Christ to other people. Even Timothy, an evangelist in Ephesus, has struggled at times. He was a young man. He must have felt a bit overwhelmed at the task that had been given him in such an amazing city as Ephesus. And Paul is there. And what is Paul really saying? He's saying, Timothy, be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified. Don't be discouraged. God's with you. He's gifted you. Carry through on the ministry and share the good news of Jesus Christ with the people that God has brought into your world. Be strong and courageous. I think another time when we need to hear these words is when we face attacks to our faith. You know, you become a Christian, you make that determination. Satan isn't done with us. He comes after us in a variety of ways to discourage us, to stop us, calling us to compromise our faith or not to continue to be the people that God has called us to be, the people we long to be. And there are times when we're facing temptation that we need to be reminded to be strong and courageous. I mean, we all want to live a holy life. We long to be like our God. We can't reach that perfection. We understand that, but we long. We long to reflect the righteousness of God within our lives and the decisions that we make and the ways that we behave. We want to stand up against temptation and against the desires that come against us. We want to worship God alone and devote ourselves to Christ above all and everyone else. We want to be God's people in a world that God could work through our lives, that we could be yielded to Him, and it could be part of the light of God dispelling the darkness of sin in the world, that we could be people who stand up for God and are His messengers in a world where there's need for such hope. But Satan does everything he can to tempt us and to cripple us and then to bring charges against us and to remind us of our failures. And it's so easy for us at times, especially if we've given into temptation, to lose heart. And it's in that kind of a context when Paul speaks to the church at Ephesus. And he reminds them that the struggle that they have as Christians isn't with the people that they interact with. He says to them, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but our struggle is against the rulers, the authorities, and the powers of this dark world, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Paul says, we're in the midst of a spiritual battle, and it's Satan who's coming against you, and he's the one who is behind these temptations, that and those things that he touches within yourself. And he's basically telling them and telling us, these are defining moments in your life. How will you respond to temptation? What will you do when you're faced with a determination of whether you resist and stand or if you fall in compromise? And he says in Ephesians chapter 6, finally be strong in the Lord. And in His mighty power, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And from there he talks about the armor of God and putting on the belt of truth, remembering what the truth of the Word of God is and what the truth is about righteousness and holiness, having that belt of truth and seeing the lies that Satan tells us, the counterfeit pleasures he offers for sin, standing with the breastplate of righteousness on. That is the righteousness of Jesus Himself. To remember, we're righteous in Christ. We may have failed, but we're righteous in Christ because of Him. We have our feet prepared with the gospel of peace so that we have a place to stand in the Word of God. We stand strong. We advance with the Word of God as leading us forward, even taking the battle to the enemy who is Satan himself. We have the helmet of salvation that reminds us of our salvation and that protects our thoughts as we continue to remember that we are God's people. And we wear that helmet, we put it on spiritually to guard those thoughts that would come into our minds that would take us away from God. We hold up the shield of faith, Jesus Christ Himself, as the one who blocks the blows of Satan. And we wield the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, the very Word of God. We're strong in the Lord. We stand our ground. Soldiers of Christ, arise. As we were singing, part of that battle is our own personal battle against temptation and against desires, and to be ready to stand our ground. I don't know what temptation you may face. I know what temptations I continue to face. And Paul would tell us here in Ephesians 6 to pray for God's power and strength, to draw near to God, as James says, to resist the devil and to draw near to God and find the strength to stand, not to give in to the pressures around us, but to be uncompromising and never listen to those voices in the world, to be strong and courageous, to stand up against sin, to stand up as well to the challenges that we face in our faith. Because Satan doesn't just use temptation. He uses all sorts of situations in our life, from discouragement things not being right in our life, not being as we had hoped, loneliness, pain, loss, hurt in the lives of people that we love, betrayal, abandonment. So many things happen. Satan uses so much. You know, in a matter of a month, among our own family here, if you just take almost any month out of the year, it is amazing the challenges and the difficulties that are faced. And sometimes we don't maybe not even know some of those things that are happening, but many of them we do because we share with each other and we pray for one another. But it's difficult to imagine almost anything that doesn't happen, that we don't face. I was talking to a brother the other day whose just family just seems to be under assault. It's just like one thing, and then it's the next thing, and then it's the next thing. He said to me, you know, I know God says that He won't give you more than you're able to bear, but sometimes I just begin to wonder, you know, how do we stand? And in such moments, they're just around us in a variety of ways. It's when we need to be strong and courageous. And that's not just a phrase. It's not just something, I'll be strong and courageous and just say the words. These are words that lay hold of the deep truths of our faith, that remind us that we're rooted in Christ, that we have a God who has been with His people from the very beginning, who never forsakes His people, who never breaks a promise, a God who is faithful, a God who will shape us even through the most difficult moments of our life, because He's not shaping us for this world. He's shaping us to His image. He's shaping us into the image of Christ, and He's preparing us for glory. And God is at work even in those moments when we might sense abandonment. These are times to be strong and courageous, to hold on, not to be terrified, not to be discouraged. We can get so down. Things aren't going the way we are. I'm a teacher, and where are the kids? And I'm trying to serve in this ministry, and it doesn't seem like it's going very well. Or I'm trying to deal with this problem with an aging parent, or with a health problem in your family, and it just seems like it just keeps coming, and it's so difficult. And it's so important for us in such moments to rely on God, on this promise. I will be with you. I'm the Lord your God. I'll be with you wherever you go. I'm with you even in this hurt. David, who cries out often in the Psalms, feeling abandoned, wondering what's going on. Why are the enemies that he has seem to be gaining strength over him? And he is so willing to cry out in faith and to honestly say things and to even direct us in the right direction. In Psalm 31, he says to people who are hurting, be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. He's just saying, hope in the Lord, wait in the Lord, don't give up on the Lord, be strong, hang on, God is there. Isaiah says in Isaiah 35:3, strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way, say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. There's the promise. God is with you. He sees you. He knows what's going on. He hasn't forsaken you. He will bring you through whatever disappointment you're facing, whatever hurt happens to be. Be strong and courageous because God is near, and God will give you the strength. He will bring you through. He will use whatever the situation is to shape you according to His purpose and will. And we know this because it's happened before. If we've been faithful through such struggles in the past, we know this principle is true. But sometimes when we're in the middle of such moments, it's hard to remember. And it's so very important for us to remember these promises of God, because He is there. As we face trials, He's there. As we face temptations, be strong and courageous. As we have an opportunity to share His word with others, be strong and courageous. As doors of opportunity to serve others, to be a blessing in someone else's life, even if it puts you in a fearful position, be strong and courageous. And God will use you. These are defining moments. How will my life go? Will I be a man, a woman of faith? Or will I turn away in some way? These are those defining moments when we determine whether we believe the promises of God and act on them, or if we turn away from them. You know, we can argue about the most, or not even argue, but discuss the most dangerous jobs or the most stressful jobs. But I know without a doubt the greatest vocation that we can possibly undertake. And that is accept God's call to salvation, to become the children of God in Christ Jesus, and to live for Him, and to say yes to God, to accept what He's done for us through Christ, and to say yes to God when He calls us to serve, and to give our lives in service, to face temptation with His strength. There's no life that is greater than that, to answer His call, to live in confidence, to live with His power, slowly, day by day. Yes, with some failings along the way, but slowly, day by day, moving forward to become the people God's created us to be and calls us to be in Christ and empowers us to be. I don't know what you may be facing right now. Some of you, actually, I may do know what you're facing, but so many of us, we come here today. But there's some defining moment perhaps very near, or maybe one that we're dealing with right now. I would just hope that each of us could take in our hearts today these words. Again, not just as a saying, but as a reminder of who we are and who our God is and how we face such defining moments in a way that honors and glorifies God and allows us to be used effectively in His kingdom. So would you say this with me one more time, please? We'll close with this verse. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. May that be planted in our hearts, a promise that we hold on to always. And if you haven't come into a relationship with God that gives you that kind of confidence and assurance, we who've come to know Him would just point you to Christ. Christ is the answer. Christ is the way to the Father. We point you to Him. If you have faith in Christ, if you believe He's the Son of God, He's one who's been strong and courageous for us by giving up His own life for us and shedding His blood for us. And if you believe that and you want to become His servant and bow before His lordship, we would invite you even today, if you're ready to be baptized into Christ, to do so, to make that confession, to begin that life of courage and faithfulness. But whatever we're facing in our life today, let us be men and women of strength and courage, and honor the Lord in our lives. If there's any way that we as a family here can help or bless you in any way, please let us know. Let's stand and sing together.